I enjoy it so very much that it's gone before. Sometime a minister will sneak off and want to visit a church to hear someone else preach, and I appreciate that very much. Privileged last weekend to be with Brother Randall and Brother Gail and Sister Val at the little Howardwick Church just north of Clarendon. So I'm reporting that they were in church last Sunday, but I appreciate so much that good humble prayer that we heard this morning too. When you follow someone, even if it's for a short period of time, it stirs up your mind many times. You know, when Saul was on that road to Damascus, he was under the authority and commission of the chief priest. And the only time in the entire New Testament will you find that word commission, it was given to Saul, as your pastor said, to cause havoc in the church. That great commission you hear preached about sometime, there's no such thing. That great commission, those people went out by command. There's a difference between a command and a commission. That's not our subject this morning. That hearing ear and a seeing eye, the Bible says the Lord hath made even the both of them. So that miracle, the fact that you can, there's a natural and a spiritual lesson so much in the Bible. We all have a natural ear, but if you're seeing things and hearing things that are deep spiritually, that is a gift. That is a miracle, the gift of God, because he has made those hearing ears and seeing eyes. Sometime if you wonder why a minister picks a subject that he does, it's on his mind. Ministers wonder about that too many times. But events happen during the week. Many times that even though you're studying and having a great interest in some subject, it won't leave your mind. There's a little group, and you've all seen them at McDonald's, a little group over in a corner somewhere that's sitting and talking. There's a little group in Canyon in McDonald's, and many times Jan and I will join them. She's an invited guest amongst the old fellas there, so they permit her opinion so many times. But what I've noticed is there is a great hunger out there amongst God's people for the truth. And we failed so many times in not feeding them when they ask. You know, we don't go knock on doors and push, but when the subjects come up and you're asked about something, I have felt that the Lord has opened that so many times. That little group, several of them are moviegoers. And they'll go to a movie and then come back, and if they know you're a minister, they'll ask you questions about that. Primarily, the last one is The Son of God. We've seen that movie show. I'm not going to critique a movie, so don't worry about that. But that come up. So I thought, well, maybe we need to see that, since that's on the mind of God's people out there. Among the first scenes, you'll see this very tall, handsome man with long, flowing brown hair, and that's Jesus. And, you know, the story goes on. Some facts, most of it's just Hollywood, but they begin to wonder about that movie, and if they know you're a minister, they'll ask you about that. That's kind of been on my mind. What did Christ actually look like? Well, there were no cameras. There was no photographs of him taken, but I think the Bible gives us a very good picture of what the physical appearance of Christ actually was. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had many, many problems, 7 major problems within that church. Why would Paul bring up to them at the church of Corinth in the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, the 14th verse, and say that if a man hath long hair, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man hath long hair, it is a shame unto him? The thought is, if Paul wrote that to the church at Corinth, would Christ then himself violate that very inspired word of God and have long hair? Now, we need to, but there's doctrinal points in all of that. What is the physical appearance of Christ itself. When you begin studying and talking to some that says, well, I'm going to have long hair because Jesus did, I think it's very plain in the Bible that he did not have long hair. I've heard a comment, well, he was a Nazarene, and Nazarenes have long hair. Well, that's a statement that when you begin reading the Bible, they're misunderstanding a term, because there's a difference between a Nazarite and a Nazarene. You go to the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers, and it talks about the Nazarites and all that type of thing. In Matthew, the third chapter and the 23rd verse, talking about Christ, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Christ did live, Jesus, in Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And he was. That was a fulfillment of the scripture. So let's go for a few minutes back to the book of Numbers so we can understand the difference when you hear the term Nazarene, and we've heard that all of our life. But Nazarite, to so many of God's children, is a very unusual term. And that's not just something that they call the people that of Nazareth, because these people, a Nazarite took a vow. Now, it was blessed of the Lord, too, but they took a vow that he would do many things. And usually it was a period of mourning or humiliation or some period of time, usually not less than 30 days. But it could extend many years, depending on the vow that he took. So let's look at the vow of a Nazarite and see if our Lord Jesus fulfilled or lived under that vow of the Nazarite. Sixth chapter in the third verse says, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. If you took a vow of a Nazarite, no wine, no strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist or dried grapes. That vow, you couldn't even eat a raisin, you know, because that's a dried grape. And you couldn't eat any grapes at all. That's a very, very strict vow that he took. All the days of his separation, that separation period was the period of time that he took this vow. All the days of his separation shall eat nothing that is made of the vine of the tree, from the kernels, even to the husk. Now, here's the point that we're looking at, that some claim that Jesus had long hair, misunderstanding that he was not a Nazarite. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. He wouldn't get a haircut. For whatever period of time that he took that vow, the hair grew. Also, all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. If you took a vow of a Nazarite, you couldn't come around or touch a dead body at all. You know, our Lord in Matthew, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, would have violated that, because what did he do with that young maid? He touched the hand of a dead young maid and she arose. That shows me that he would have, if he was under that vow of no haircut, he violated it at that point. You could not do that. We know that the Lord blessed wine, turned water into wine. He consumed wine at the Last Supper. Remember the cup? All of those things. So there's, our Jesus could not have taken the vow of a Nazarite, because he would have violated some of that. What if I have taken a vow of a Nazarite and was with some dear brother and they died right in my arms? I mean, you have just technically violated that vow, because you're touching a dead person. See, in the Bible, it talks about even if that happened, your vow ends immediately at that point. And within 7 days, you must get your hair cut. And within the 8th day, and it goes on and on about all the offerings of sin offering and those kind of offerings that you had to make, even if it was accidental, because your vow was broken. I've got a great fear I'm getting too technical here and too deep, but you can read that. What I want to show is our Lord and Savior was not under the vow of a Nazarite. What about at the end of that period? What about if my 30 days or my 30 years or whatever period of time that I took that vow? Samson was under the vow of a Nazarite from birth. You wonder why Samson had long hair? Judges tells us, the book of Judges, he said he, from birth he was under a vow of the Nazarite, so he was blessed. His strength come from that long hair because of under that vow. He must shave his head immediately when that vow was broken. But what did you do with the hair, you know? Okay, if you've got long hair under the vow of a Nazarite, you shave that. What do you do with all that extra hair? 18th verse, and the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. See how detailed that gets? I mean, and I've skipped a lot. Very detailed about shaving the head, letting it grow, what to do when you did shave those things, and all of that. Very, very detailed on what to do. So what did Christ look like? You know, he looked just like the ordinary Jewish citizen at that time. All through the book of John, even in some in the book of Luke, you will see when Christ was amongst the great multitudes of people. You know, he violated the Sabbath law, the Jews thought at one time, because he healed someone on the Sabbath. They wanted to take him out and kill him. You know what the Bible says? He passed through the midst of them and departed. Right, because he looked just like everybody else. If he'd been this real tall, handsome man with long, flowing brown hair, as the movie depicts, he would have been very easily standing out. He was in the temple one time, and they thought to stone him. What did he do? The Bible says he just passed through the midst of them because he looked like everybody else at that time and departed. You remember Judas, when Judas betrayed? When Judas brought that multitude and the soldiers with their weapons and their lights, you know, Jesus two times had to introduce himself by saying, I am he. And they said, who's Jesus? We're looking for Jesus. Not an obvious person looking different from everybody else. He said, I am he. What was his sign? Judas told the multitude, he that I kiss on the cheek, that is he that you're looking for. He even had to point him out. See, he was with the other James and John and the other apostles, but he looked just like they did. No different in standing out. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, gives a very good, I think, description in the Old Testament and prophecy of what Jesus looked like. Second verse, 53rd chapter, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. What does that mean? He wasn't beautiful or handsome or dignified looking. Looked just like the rest of us preachers, kind of common looking, you know. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, is acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Very common looking. Now let's go back to the Solomon's songs in the Old Testament, because I think there's Solomon's songs is a beautiful song about a marriage. And that marriage was between Jesus Christ, the husband, and his bride, the church. My love, my dove, my undefiled, she is but one. He's talking about that relationship. But how does, in that Song of Solomon, how is Jesus described when picturing him? The 5th chapter and 11th verse. Well, let's go to the 10th verse. It said, my beloved, we're talking about the husband here. We're talking about Jesus. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. That word ruddy, when you begin looking at that, that means kind of reddish and sunburned, as a carpenter would be. Those carpenters didn't work with lumber as much as carpenters do now. It was a lot of stone, a lot of stone outside. Look at any farmer or rancher, that ruddy complexion, kind of sunburned. That was the appearance that our Savior had. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And watch this. His head is the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Now, I think there's a reason for that that we'll get into in a few minutes. Bushy, curled. He had black, curly hair as described in the Song of Solomon. So let's go on. Get any old history book and begin looking at the statues, archaeology book, of those that existed at the time Jesus was upon this earth. If you notice the leaders of nations, the Caesars and the Pharaoh, all of those leaders of nations in their statues, Tiberius, a very popular one, and others, they had short hair. Those great national military leaders in their statues that existed at the time Christ was here had short hair. Now, what about those with long hair? They are all pagan gods, even in the history book. Look at Zeus and some of those. They had long hair. The natural men, the leaders of their nation, had short hair, but the statues that show the long-haired and heavy beards were the pagan gods that existed at that time. Constantine in the 3rd, 4th century A.D., a big Roman, he's called in history the great first Christian emperor. All that means is he did not persecute those as much in the 4th century as been before. But look what happened under Constantine in the 4th. They took Zeus. Those that began to worship at that time wanted an image to worship, not just a man. They chose Zeus and began to worship him as Jesus. If you look at pictures of Jesus today that you see painted on walls and set aside a picture of that pagan god Zeus, there's a lot of resemblance at that time. If you wonder where all that came from, it came from the 4th century A.D. under Constantine, because they had to worship. You know, our 4th commandment, that we should have no graven images before him. Why was that commandment? Because we would worship those things. If we make an image out of all of that, we will begin to worship those things. All in the natural worship of those images came so much from that fourth century. Let's go again to the New Testament. Go to the book of Revelation, because in the book of Revelations, and there's a lot of description on what did the Apostle John, how did he describe Christ after the resurrection? Before his death, remember in Solomon's Song, the 5th chapter, 11th verse, said his hair was black as a raven. I think there's a spiritual lesson in that and how he was described differently in the New Testament. He had the blackness of our sins upon his head before the crucifixion. I've wondered many times, why did they have so much trouble recognizing Jesus after the resurrection? I think the Bible tells us one of the reasons was his hair changed colors. It was no longer black. It's a black of a raven. First chapter of the book of Revelation, the 14th verse. Look how this is after the resurrection. His hair, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. Black before crucifixion, white after the resurrection. Our sins are gone. The blackness of our sins that were upon his head in the Old Testament are not there anymore. It's white as snow is the way he was described after the resurrection. I think that shows a great biblical lesson about our sins being gone. You know, Revelation tells us that he hath made us kings and priests before God. If we are now kings and priests before God, what did the Old Testament talk about? How are those priests supposed to? I mean, we're called priests now and kings. How were they commanded in the Old Testament to look? Ezekiel, the 44th chapter and the 20th verse. Now, this is a direction to those priests on how they were to dress. Neither shall they shave their heads. No skin heads. Can't shave your head. Okay? Nor suffer their locks. Some of us are getting naturally that way, so you know. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. What does that word poll mean? If you grew up on a farm or a ranch, you heard a lot about old polled steers. That means their horns were cut short. In the Old Testament, those priests and all the things that they were told and how they were to dress, they would poll their heads, cut their hair short. If we're priests and kings before God, should we violate some of the other appearance things? There is so much in the Bible about the spiritual issues, the simple things that we were commanded to do. You know, the children of Israel, one of the great charges against the children of Israel, transgressions that they did, was Nazarites, the children of Israel, would give wine to the Nazarites. And when you read it, you think, well, what's wrong with that? Because they were under a vow, and the children of Israel were trying to get God's children, because they took this vow unto the Lord, and they were trying to get God's children to violate a vow, trying to get the prophets. They would tell them to prophesy not. This was God's children of Israel, trying to get other of God's children to violate that vow. There's nothing wrong with the vow of a Nazarite, because it was done and blessed by God for a purpose. But you also did not break that. If you take a vow before the Lord, you did not break those things. Samson did that. Others, and you read in the Bible, had taken that vow. Some in a very short period of time, some with a long time. I wondered for a long time, why was it, if we were instructed not to have long hair, and Samson did, why was he blessed? Because of that vow in the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers that he had taken before the Lord. When we begin reading and studying what the Lord has directed us to appear, you know, we are to dress ourselves in modest apparel. Now, the women, it's a different story. Their hair is given to them as a covering. There's a great blessing in that. But we're looking at what, and I was asked so many times, what do you think of that? What did Christ really look like? The common answer is nobody knows, because there's no pictures. And that's true, but I think we do have a good image of what he did look like for a reason. He looked like everyone else at that time. He was not handsome, did not stand out, certainly did not have long, flowing brown hair. Do you think he could walk through a crowd when they were seeking to stone him if he looked different than the rest of them? The multitudes, he looked like everyone else as he walked out through there. There's a, you know, when we're told to study that, show ourselves approved unto God, that workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, that's that same word that's used when he told them that it was a shame unto them when they let their hair grow, unless they were under a vow of a Nazarite. When someone asks about that, take them to the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers and show that there is a difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite. It's just not someone, you know, from Texas, we're called Texans. Someone from Nazareth was not called a Nazarite. They were called a Nazarene, as our Christ was. But he was not under the vow of a Nazarite. He had very short hair, short black curly hair, I think the Bible teaches us, until the resurrection. You know what wool looks like? It's short and curly, hair like wool, but it was white as snow. That's a difference. Our sins are completely gone from his head. I know this may be an unusual subject, but it came up and I couldn't get it off my mind, brother. You know, so when our kids sometimes think, well, and I've heard that before when you're on a college campus a lot, You see a lot of that. Well, Jesus had long hair. No, he didn't, you know, because we know that the Bible describes him very closely on what he looked like and why did he look like those. A letter to the church at Corinth tells us very specifically in the New Testament that it's a shame to let our hair, a man's hair, grow very long. Look at those evil spirits. You know, I don't know why thoughts keep coming. There's evil spirits talked about in the book of Revelation in the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter in the eighth verse, it talks about evil spirits. You know what? And this is not something bad about the women. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. In other words, the evil spirits at that time, described in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelations, had long flowing hair. The same way that those false gods did, the pagan gods that we worshiped early on in life. In the history of the world, anyway, they worshiped those type of things. We don't worship Zeus, you know. If we're worshiping an image of long hair, that's worshiping that pagan god Zeus, because it's that image that's tried to be portrayed to us even to this day. Please come ahead.